all do this report annually. Just tell me again, why is it that you all are committed to doing this every year?
It's important for taxpayers to understand how their money is being spent. And so every year we call through the state budget, through local budgets, through comptroller audits, and a number of news sources to compile some of the worst offenses in our minds of government waste, fraud, and abuse. So we look at the most egregious examples, uncovering new and in some cases updated cases of fiscal recklessness. We also select a pork of the year among that to showcase what we think is the worst example of government spending in the state.
Well, let's go through a little bit of what you found. First of all, what is the worst offender? What did you think of as being just the most egregious?
Well, this year's dubious honor for pork of the year is awarded to a repeat offender, actually, a group that has been in our report in the past, and that's the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Last year, auditors discovered that $73 million in erroneous unemployment benefits had been paid out to dead people or gainfully employed state workers. When auditors followed up this last year, they realized that that had grown to $181 million, and including ineligible recipients were 84 felons who are currently sitting behind bars. So they're obviously unemployed, but for very different reasons from those who would otherwise be receiving unemployment benefits. So for doling out nearly $200 million to people who should never receive unemployment benefits, that secured the Department of Labor as our Pork of the Year recipient.
What about some of these other things, as you pointed out? Can you go through a few of those?
Sure. So this past year, taxpayers shelled out a record-breaking $1.9 million on government-owned golf courses. So the state owns 9 golf courses across the state. Fortunately, that's improved. There used to be 9. They've sold off some of the least profitable. But every year, these golf courses lose money, and all 9 of them lost a total of almost $1.9 million this year. And the interesting thing about that that's different than in the past, when we always request this information from the Department of Environment and Conservation, which manages the courses, they argue that they keep greens fees low so that the overall state park system can turn a profit because they're luring golfers to the state parks. Yet this year's state budget allocates a $1.5 million operating cost expense for the state park system, meaning that there's no longer any excuse to continue forcing taxpayers to subsidize the golf habits of others because it's not even benefiting the overall state park system. A few of the other examples in the state budget include spending to urge Tennesseans to eat more beef through what's called the Beef Promotion Board. This is funded by a 50-cent tax on every head of cattle sold in the state. The state also forked over $4 million in film incentives for things like the TV show Nashville, which I know are very popular, but research consistently proves that these incentives offer a return of just 10 to 30 cents on the dollar. So I can't find too many taxpayers who would say, let me give you 10 cents and you give me a dollar. That's not a very good deal, yet that's what the state government is asking them to do.
You mean let me give you a dollar and give me 10 cents?
Right. No, it's the opposite. It's you give the government a dollar and they give you 10 cents back. It's a really bad deal.
Yeah. What about over here in East Tennessee? Did you all look specifically at the East Tennessee region?
There are certainly some glaring examples in East Tennessee. You're probably not doing as bad as Memphis, which is a good thing. Memphis takes the cake, I think, this year for some of the most outlandish spending. But the Tennessee Department of Transportation did dole out $42 million in taxpayer funds to the city of Cleveland for their regional jet port. And ultimately, this is a really bad deal because the Chattanooga airport's just 30 miles away, yet all this money was spent in Cleveland where they built this lavish place for jet setters, for wealthy people, that normal people are never going to be flying in and out of this jet port on private jets. But this place has fireplaces and wood furniture, water features, restaurants, even they boast recliners and quiet rooms for siestas. And so taxpayers across the state are funding that $42 million project that will only benefit a select few. Our report also found a lot of examples of fraud where local government employees steal money from taxpayers. One example of that in East Tennessee is the Alcoa School District. There was a former employee who stole nearly $500,000 from the school district. She paid her mortgage, she bought food, jewelry, clothes, iTunes songs. She even invested in a local gym. So this is pretty bad because you're talking about money that's supposed to go to educate children. It's possible that this person will continue her ability to lift weights on the taxpayer dime, only in the future she'll probably do it behind bars.
How do these things happen? I mean, because we can look at this and say, what in the world? That's ridiculous. How is it that these happen, that we sit back and we never know that, you know, $33 million was spent on a riverboat dock that became a problem, or that, that they're spending this money on the swanky jet port? Those don't make headlines. How do these things happen?
Well, when they do make headlines, people think that these projects are such a great idea, and they don't stop to realize that they're not being told how much it costs, usually. And that's where we come in, and that's what the purpose of the Pork Report is designed to educate Tennesseans all across the state about how their money is actually being spent and on what. And oftentimes it's the first time they've heard a lot of it. But the second component is that we don't just complain about the wasteful and abusive spending in our state. We actually offer solutions in the report that make it more difficult for politicians, Republicans, and Democrats alike to spend your hard-earned money in stupid ways. So at the state level, there are a number of things we can do. We can enact a kicker law, for example. It says if you have surplus revenue, that money has to be returned to taxpayers' pockets rather than spent on some political pet project. Or we need to establish an independent commission made up of small business owners and taxpayers all across the state who analyze the state budget and say, you know what, why are we spending money on this? This is not the proper role of government. I think the local level is where the most headway can be made, because that's where we see a lot of the fraud and abuse taking place. So local governments need to make sure they have audit committees that are auditing their activities, making sure that there isn't fraud taking place. They need to impose debt disclosure requirements, because many of these projects at the local level are funded with bonds, which essentially means you're kicking the can down the road and forcing future taxpayers, your children and grandchildren, to pay for those projects with interest. And so having some transparency on those types of things will make it easier for taxpayers to hold local officials accountable. And there just need to be better systems in place. As I mentioned, you can't rely on conservatives or liberals or Democrats or Republicans to spend better or be more frugal with your money. You have to rely on systems that place checks and balances on them, to make sure that one person isn't writing checks and depositing checks and that type of thing. It can be very simple, but when you have consolidation of power, especially at the local level, it's so much easier for people to abuse their positions and commit fraud with taxpayers' money.